Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening. It's Blog Talk Radio, Interpreters of the Oracles of God. Hope everybody's doing awesome today. I'm calling this one, They Sit Down at Your Feet, and I took that from Deuteronomy 33:3, which says, yes, he loves the people. All his saints are in your hand. They sit down at your feet. Everyone receives your words. And of course, I really want to say, even before I say the prayer, I'm going to say that my prayer is that he will anoint our eyes with eye salve that we may see. That is Revelation 3:18. And of course, I want to thank IHOP Kansas for letting me play their music. May the Lord bless them and keep them and make his face to shine upon them and give them his peace and give them above and beyond what they could ever ask or even think or even imagine to fulfill their part of his story. I just am so, so thankful for IHOP, for CI, and I'm just so, so such a thankful person for the beautiful mentors that God has put in my life throughout my life. And so I want to declare Numbers 10:9. When you go to war in your land against the adversary who attacks you, then you shall sound an alarm with the trumpets, that you may be remembered before the Lord your God and be saved from every single one of your enemies. Let's play the recording of the shofar. From 1 Corinthians, starting at 2:9, just as it is written, things which eye has not seen, and ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. For to us God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. My prayer is that we will have the revelation that we have those eyes to see. We all need a deeper revelation of that, don't we? And ears to hear. But the Spirit is saying, eyes to see, and that Jesus has entered into our hearts so that the Holy Spirit can reveal to us those deep, deep things. Now, we have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God. Just as the scripture says, we have the Spirit of the Lord, and we can know the things freely given to us by God. And you know, you can never go through enough of how can we have intimacy with the Lord. We do. I know every person wants to see and hear. That is our birthright. That's our inheritance. So what are some things we can do to enter into the realms of heaven? You know, we're already seated with him in heavenly places. That's not just, that is a reality. That's a spiritual reality. And so how can we enter in? And so I want to discuss a few things to help us do that, and then talk about some of the things that I've already talked about with everyone on how we can enter into that secret place with him. And we're just going to go into Revelation 3:20. And he is speaking to us, the church. He's not speaking to the world. We are advised to buy gold refined in the fire. Listen to what he says. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. I wanted to read this in the message because it's really powerful. Because if you feel lukewarm, you know, you can just bring that to the Lord and tell him, Lord, I feel cold. I feel lukewarm. I don't know what I need, Lord, but I want more passion for you. He's not going to turn you down. He doesn't want to see you being that way. He knows that, you know, we're just flesh. And when we cry out to him, he's right there for us. And so we know that all we have to do is whisper his name and he will be there for us. And so we're so blessed, aren't we, that he wants us to have those eyes to see and ears to hear. And so let's go into Revelation 3:14. Write to Laodicea, to the angel of the church, yes, the faithful and accurate witness, the first of creation, says, I know you inside out and find little to my liking. You're not cold. You're not hot. Far better to be either cold or hot. You're stale. You're stagnant. You make me want to vomit. You brag. I'm rich. I've got it made. But, you know, I am going to have to do a different version because somehow it got cut off. And I don't know how that happened. And so if you bear with me, I'm going to go and get that version online. And so hold on one little sec here. Okay. And my computer is restarting. Isn't that interesting? So my show is also my show is also going down. But that's okay. We'll just wing it. And so I want to what I'm going to do is I'm going to play a little bit of singing in the spirit, because that is one of the ways that we can really enter in to the secret place with the Lord, is that we begin to pray in the spirit and sing in the spirit. And so let's just do that right now. Isn't that beautiful? Praying in the Spirit is such a beautiful thing. Of course, that's IHOP. And that gives someone a taste if they've never really heard people singing in the Spirit. It's just so beautiful to enter into the Holy Spirit, praying in the Spirit and building yourself up in your most holy faith. You know, it stirs you up in your faith. It stirs up the gifts of the Spirit. It's such a beautiful thing to pray in the Spirit. And so I want to talk a little bit, you know, what are some of the ways that we can really, really, really begin to know the Lord? Like, what are some of the things we can do? And so one of those things is to be thirsty and to be hungry. You know, think about what was said in Revelation 3:20. I mean, that's so incredible. He wants to come dine with us. How beautiful is that? And so he says, I'm knocking on the door of your heart. If you let me in, I'll come and dine with you. And so things of the Spirit too. I want you to think about this in Matthew 11:12. It says, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. I do want to tell you about that. That is violent faith. Because to enter into the things of the kingdom, you're always going to get, you have to press through. And so in order to do that, you have to have violent faith. And you have to never take no for an answer. I want to talk to you about Psalm 63. We're going to start at verse 1. Because you have to seek him earnestly. You can't, it's not like going into McDonald's in the drive-thru and going, oh, Lord, here, I need this, I need that. Hey, you up there, Lord? Like, what's going on? Can I just give you my list and tell you what I need from you? That is not what he's looking for. He's looking for us to have communion with him. He's looking for us to be hungry for him, to be thirsty for him, to yearn for him. And so I'm going to read that to you. Oh, God, you are my God. I shall seek you earnestly. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh yearns for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Thus I have seen you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. Now, I've talked about this in other studies that we've done. David, he hung out and he waited until the presence of the Lord came, and he saw his Shekinah glory and his power. And it's a relationship. You know, God wants us to have a relationship with him. Having a relationship, you have to cultivate it. You have to sit before him and talk to him, just like we're talking to each other, or just like we talk to each other. How do we get to know each other as people? It's the same thing. Listen to what he says. So I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul is satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth offers praises with joyful lips. Do you really and truly want to enter into the presence of the Lord? Worshiping is one of the most amazing ways to enter in to the realms of God. Listen to Psalm 63:6. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches. For you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings, I sing for joy. So he knows how to praise. He knows how to wait. He says, my soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. But those who seek my life to destroy it will go into the depths of the earth. Well, and it goes on and on. And I wanted to really talk to you with that psalm as far as clinging and thirsting. Let's take a look at what the soul of a person is. And this is in Strong's 05315. And so I'm just going to read the ones that really I feel apply to us as human beings. It's our soul, our self-life, our appetites, our mind, our beings, our desires, our emotions, our passions, which breathes the breathing substance or being, the inner man. And most of the rest of them are pretty much the same thing in different words, except for I love where it says, seat of emotions and passions, activity of mind, activity of the will, activity of the character. You know, it's our very self. It's everything about us, our mind, our desires, our emotions, our very substance, our very beings. And there's some really practical things that he's saying in this psalm. He's saying, you're my God, I shall seek you earnestly. I mean, that is one of the most amazing ways to enter in. We have to seek the Lord. Seek him earnestly. And so that word is this. It means to look early or diligently, to seek early. The word earnestly in the dictionary means serious in intention, purpose, effort, sincerely zealous and earnest worker, showing depth and sincerity of feeling, earnest words and earnest entreaty, seriously important, demanding or receiving serious attention. Now, if God is if we don't think he's worth our serious attention, then we're really going to have to take a look at ourselves and say, Lord, I'm missing something. I don't have that passion I used to have. Lord, I feel that lukewarmness, and I don't want to be that. I mean, I think we've all gone through that in our lives, and I know if we bring that to the Lord, he always helps. He always hears us. You know, when you think about a person, what makes a good relationship with a person? Do you share who you are? You have, you know, you share about yourself. And then, of course, they share about themselves. And with the Lord, I mean, he'll talk to you if you talk to him. And I believe you just have to press into that. Of course, he talks through his word the most. And when you pray in the Spirit, that's the mind of Christ. And so he'll start speaking to you when you pray in the Spirit, because you're seeking the mind of Christ. As you pray in the Spirit, you're building yourself up on your most holy faith. And so think about this. He said his flesh yearns for the Lord, faints for him, longs for him. And so that means to have an earnest or strong desire to yearn for a quiet vacation. I thought that was really interesting, because what do you do on vacation? You rest. You lay out by the beach. You know, you read a book. Well, he wants you to rest in him. I think I can truly say he wants to be our quiet vacation. It's to feel tenderness, to be moved or attracted. They yearned over the delicate child. There's some synonyms. I'm not going to say all of them, but here's some beautiful synonyms. Yearn, long, pine, to feel a powerful desire for, to yearn desperately for recognition. Longing implies a wholehearted desire for something that is or seems unattainable, but we know that we can have a relationship with the Lord that is so attainable. He longs for that communion with us. He longs for that. He loves that. He wants us to be before him. He wants to be our first love. And when he is our first love, oh, that is such a powerful thing. So powerful. Because then you learn how to cultivate that relationship, because you love him the most. You're going to give him your time. You're going to read the word. You're going to long to know about him. And so anybody in the universe, he is worth waiting for. And I know many here waiting on the Lord, and sometimes we have a problem with that, don't we? Because it's such a, everything's so fast. We have fast speed, you know, high speed internet, and everything's high speed, and we don't know what it's like sometimes to sit and wait before the Lord. But he talks about waiting in his presence, dwelling with him. And it takes a while to get rid of that noise, doesn't it? Because you really have to practice those, you know, pressing through those thoughts. You'll be hearing things like, you have to do the dishes, don't you? You really need to wash those floors. You need to clean the toilets. You have to go to the store. You know, you'll just start hearing those kind of things. And you have to learn to really almost shut your mind out, shut your mind off, because then you can begin to talk and say, Lord, I want to press through where I can press into the Spirit and I can be with you. I want to just read some kind of really awesome Psalms. Psalm 37:3. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. We have to cultivate faithfulness. We have to be diligent. We have to cultivate diligence and faithfulness. We have to practice godliness. You know, God's for us. The Holy Spirit is there to help us. And the reason why I'm talking about this in regards to the Holy Spirit is if we don't wait for him and we don't receive from him, how can we have all the beautiful things, walk in the gifts of the Spirit, learn to listen to his voice, if we don't even wait to hear from him? If we don't, you know, we don't read his word and meditate on it. And so I know sometimes there's busy times in our lives and we have to just stop and say, Lord, this is a busy time. I need you to help me. I've gone through that and I know you have too. And it's like, don't you miss them? It's like you miss them. I know for me when I'm like that, I'm like, Lord, I miss you. It's too busy for me. I need you to help me. And he will do that. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will do it. He will do it. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who carries out wicked schemes. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only leads to evil doing. Wow, that's a mouthful, isn't it? I mean, he wants us to rest in him. And I believe that really takes practice. Don't you? It totally takes practice. And so I'm going to give you a couple ideas, and I've given them before, but I'm going to give them again. Take a notebook into a quiet place. Put on some worship music and ask him, Lord, what would you like to say to me, Lord? What would you like to show me? And we used to do this. This is our assignments in the School of the Prophets. And I know the first time I did it, I was like, I didn't know he would actually talk to me. And I was truly pleasantly shocked because he showed me things. I was just like, wow. And he talked to me. Yes, he talked to me, because I remember saying to him, Lord, we're supposed to be best friends. And if you're my first love, then you have to talk to me. And trust me, he did. He talks a lot from his word. He whispers things from the word of God. He gives you encouragement from the word of God. You know, say you're in a certain situation, hey, you need healing. He'll start speaking to you. Shar, I am the healer. I love you. I long to heal you. Just believe me. Don't look at the circumstances. Don't look at what you see. Look at my word. I mean, have you ever heard him talk to you in your spirit like that? It's so awesome. And usually it's from his inclination that it's him. It'll always line up with his word. If it does not line up with his word, then it is not him. Do not receive it. he's not going to go against his word. I don't care what anybody says, that they felt they heard him or whatever. If it doesn't line up with the word of God, do not receive it. If it doesn't line up with what he says and how to approach him, there are other voices out there, and you need to learn to discern those. And so I'm just going to keep reading some of the, scriptures just because they're so beautiful, and it'll give you an idea of how he wants you to wait for him. Let's go into Psalm 130, verse 5. I wait for the Lord, my soul does wait, and in his word do I hope. And that's really where we need to be. We need to be hoping in his word. Listen to Psalms 130, verse 6. My soul waits for the Lord more than the watchman for the morning. Indeed, more than the watchman for the morning. Well, what do watchmen do? They watch. They guard. They keep charge of things. They protect. They save lives. They keep guard. They observe. They preserve. And are we on our guard? I mean, are we really? Do we guard our hearts? Do we guard our minds? It's so important. Let's go to Psalm 147, verse 10. He does not delight in the strength of the horse. He does not take pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord favors those who fear him, those who wait for his loving kindness. And what does that mean, to fear him? It means to have reverence for him. That's what it really means. Do you not know? This is Isaiah 40, verse 28. Do you not know? Have you not heard the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired? His understanding is inscrutable. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks, might he increase. And to him who lacks might, sorry about that, he increases power. Though youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. So isn't that awesome? When we wait on him, wow, it doesn't matter what your age is. If you wait on him, you're going to get strength. I mean, that's a pretty awesome promise. Mount up with wings like eagles. Run and not get tired. Walk and not become weary. Isn't that glorious? I want you to think about this. Psalm 31, 20. You hide them in the secret place of your presence from the conspiracies of man. You keep them secretly in a shelter from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he has made marvelous his loving kindness to me in a besieged city. Now we're going to go to Psalm 16:11. You will make known to me the path of life, and in your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand there are pleasures forever. As for me, you hold me in my integrity, and you set me in your presence forever. Why are you in despair, O my soul? And why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him for the help of his presence. Isn't that gorgeous? For by their own sword they did not possess the land, and their own arm did not save them, but your right hand and your arm and the light of your presence, for you favored them. Isn't that glorious and fabulous? I just love it so much. I love the word of God so much. God is so incredible. We're going to keep going a little bit here. I always talk about this, and this to me is such an important chapter in the scriptures because it really gives us an insight into Moses and his relationship with the Lord. And so let's go into Exodus 33. It's such an incredible chapter. It really, really is. Let's go into 33:7 because I really, although I've talked about this, I never get weary talking about it because it gives us an idea on how to enter in to that kind of relationship. Now Moses used to take the tent and pitch it outside the camp, a good distance from the camp, and he called it the tent of meeting. And everyone who sought the Lord would go out to the tent of meeting, which was outside the camp. Now, I really want to talk about that. Remember when I told you before, I said, get a notebook. Get into worship. Get your favorite worship where you know you can just really begin to enter in to the Lord. And you will be amazed at what the Lord shows you. I mean, can you imagine? He went a little far away from the camp because he wanted to get away from everything and everybody. And so, you know, it's hard for us to do, but we really have to make a point to do it and say, you know what? I am just going to shut myself away with the Lord. I am going to go into worship, and I just want you to respect my time. And I don't think your family would mind, really. You? I don't. And so it says this. Now Moses used to take the tent and pitch it outside the camp, a good distance from the camp. Okay, so he went far out from all people, and he put himself in a little tent. And so how can we do that? Obviously, I mean, I personally don't have a tent, but I can shut myself in my room and I can say, Lord, this is your time and my time. Think about what he even said to the disciples. He said, could you not even tarry, not even for an hour? Ooh, when I heard that, I was like, oh, Lord, I'm so sorry. Help me to tarry with you at least for an hour. And so in the next verse it says, and it came about whenever Moses went out to the tent that all the people would arise and stand each at the entrance of his tent and gaze after Moses until he entered the tent. And that always struck me because I was like, wow, you know what? They didn't have their own relationship with the Lord. They were going on his relationship instead of having their own. And that just struck me so funny because aren't a lot of us like that at one time or other in our lives? We always want to go to the next thing or the next person that we think, not that there's anything wrong with going to see people, but when we don't have a relationship for our own and we are kind of living off of somebody else's, that's what they did. That's what they did. Not that Moses wasn't a great leader or not that he, you know, not that they shouldn't follow his lead. That's not what I'm saying. But he really had an intimate relationship. He had his tent of meeting. And I know that that's what God wants us to have too. Because we can have as much of God as we want. And so the thing is, they didn't have their own. And so he starts talking to the Lord, and he says, Lord, if you're not going, I'm not going either. I'm just paraphrasing here. And he's like, you know, if I found favor in your sight, let me know your ways. Lord, I want to know you. I want to have favor with you, Lord. And the Lord said to him, my presence shall go with you, and I'm going to give you rest. And he's like, if you're not going, Lord, I don't even take me any further. And so he asked to see the glory of God. And the most amazing thing is that the glory of God is in us. We have that very glory. John 17 talks about that. He put his glory inside of us. We're such a blessed people. We really are. And so, you know, he put him in the cleft of the rock. And he basically saw the glory of God. And the glory of God is in us. We have such a major advantage over the Old Testament saints. Not that they weren't powerful or that they didn't have amazing, powerful relationships, but wow, we have this Holy Spirit in us where they used to come on them. And so think about the light of God. This is what it means. It's so beautiful. It's that light, his light is pure and brilliant. It's truth. It's knowledge. It's spiritual purity. He is light. And he gives us the power to understand who he is and about his word. He helps us to apprehend the treasure that he has entrusted to us. And we're supposed to guard that by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is so amazing and so awesome. I mean, the light of God, it just says this, emitted by a lamp, heavenly light, such as surrounds angels when they appear on earth. Anything emitting light. And we know, it says metaphorically, God is light because light has the extremely delicate, subtle, pure, brilliant quality of truth and its knowledge together with the spiritual purity associated with it, that which is exposed to the view of all openly and publicly, the power of understanding. And isn't that what God wants us to have? Why would he put his glory in us? Why would he give us his Holy Spirit to disclose who he is to us by the power of the Spirit? Why would he do that? Because he wants us to have intimacy with him. He wants to be our first love. That's what he wants. You, me. He loves all people the same. We are the ones that have to say yes. Any person, it's to the whosoever will. Come to him. He wants to show who he is. You know, I am so thankful to him. Think about what he did. He died for us to know him and to be set free from our sins. He took the veil away that was separating us from the Father so that we could enter into that most holy place. We could enter in by the blood of the Lamb. Isn't that amazing? It's just like he took our place. He said, I think you're worth it. And so I'm going to take everything you were and I'm going to give you everything I am. But you have to repent and you have to turn. And then you can have this relationship with me. I paid for that. I mean, trust me, we get the better deal. He took everything on himself so that we could have this intimate relationship with him. And so we have our part. And how do we really get to know his nature and his character? By the word of God. How do we know that we need to wait before him? By the word of God. Well, I'm going to read this to you in Hebrews 10:16, which is really from Ezekiel. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws upon their heart and on their mind. I will write them, he then says. And their sins and their lawlessness I will remember no more. Where there is forgiveness of these things, there is no longer any offering for sin. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, Let us draw near with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. So we know if he says something in his word, we can believe it. If he says those who dwell in the secret place of the Most High, that they, if they abide under the shadow of the Almighty God, they can say of me that I am their refuge and their fortress, and in me they can trust. And if you go and read Psalm 91, there's some amazing, incredible talks about how God wants to protect us. And if you go in the Amplified, it says that those who do those things, those that dwell in the secret place of the Most High and dwell in the shadow of the Almighty, and they say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust, then all the rest of Psalm 91 belongs to you and to me. And so it has to do with dwelling and waiting and abiding. That's what he wants from us. He wants us to know him. He wants us to know that he's faithful, that he doesn't lie, and that he loves us. And so also, what I want to share with you is I wrote a book. It's prophetic hymns and psalms, and not psalms, it's prophetic rhymes and words. And so I think you'd really be blessed by it. It's called Stewards of the Mysteries. It's on Amazon. It's on eBay, it's on Barnes & Noble. And what it will say is Shar Olla, O-L-L-A, Feldhusen, F-E-L-D-H-U-S-E-N, Stewards of the Mysteries, Prophetic Words and Rhymes, and it's $16.99. And I'd like to read one of those poems to you so that you can get an idea of I'm sorry, one of my other computers went off. I'm just going to pick one for you and read one so you have an idea of what the book is about. And I'm going to read, it's called A Penetrating Fire, and this is on page 87, and it says this: Will you be a burning one in me with a penetrating fire to see? Stand in my counsel and give heed to me, says the Lord. I am a God who is near. Do you have an ear to hear? I'm not a God far off. Let me give you eyes to see. Let my word be like a fire in your mouth. My breath will make it the hammer to shatter the rock. It's my breath. It's my fire. It's my vehement flame. It's the baptism of my spirit. He will cause you to live it. He will cause you to walk it. He will cause you to talk it. Come and let him burn in you. I am the searcher of hearts and minds, the Son of God, whose eyes are like a fiery flame, a sanctifying fire. Come deeper, come higher. Where there's smoke, there's fire. Come and be my firebrand. Come and be my burning one. Come and receive the penetrating fire of the sun. And so that's one of my poems. And so I hope and pray you'll look at it and that you might pick that up. And so I don't even know if you're hearing this. So I think I probably was cut off. So I want to thank you for joining me if you're still on here. God bless you. And I'm going to try to get this back on to...